fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and it's my great delight to have a special guest again with us this week, but the special guest is a longtime friend and collaborator and mentor of mine, which many of you know, Ralph Martin. Ralph is the founder of Renewal Ministries, who really sponsors this program. I'm a member of Renewal Ministries, and the partnership between Ralph and I and Sister Ann Shields over the years has led to the Lord taking us all over the world to proclaim the word that he's given to us, and it's been a great, great privilege. And so it's a joy for me to be able to welcome Ralph, and we're going to talk about some key themes that have been on his heart, my heart, that we think are a big deal these days, and it's something that really needs to be addressed. So let's go for it. Ralph, welcome.
Hey, Pete, great to be here, and I'm just looking forward to what we're going to be speaking about because, yeah. I mean, this is the most important thing that any human being needs to hear.
Yeah, right. And I thought, as I was thinking about our time together, I was thinking of this quote on the life of St. Francis, and it's important to me because, one, he's my favorite saint, but clearly one of the most Christ-like figures, one of the purest disciples, loved by everyone throughout history, the last 800 years.
Almost misunderstood by everybody, too, because isn't he the guy that loves birds and is kind to animals?
Right, right. He talks to Bambi. And all this. Clearly, these quotes reveal the passion of what moved him, what was at the core of his life as a saint, and what was his concern and what was on his heart. And I want to just read these from Bonaventure, if I could. So the first one is, Bonaventure's describing who St. Francis is. He said, he was a sharp sword all on fire. Zeal for the salvation of others pierced the depths of Francis's heart in his burning love. If he saw a soul redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ being stained with sin, he would be overcome with sorrow, and he would weep so compassionately that he seemed to travail over them continually like a mother in Christ. He goes on to say, this was the reason Francis was so energetic in prayer and so active in his preaching. Christ gave himself up to death for the salvation of others, and Francis desired to follow in his footsteps till the last. And so the reason I want to start here, friends, is that at the core of what moved St. Francis was the realization of how serious sin is, and that the value of eternal souls, the price that was paid in the life of Jesus Christ on the cross, that Jesus left heaven to become one of us to deal with the problem of sin, and Francis, who's so much like Jesus and so much full of his love, was preoccupied by this in his prayer. It caused him to want to preach the gospel to liberate people from it. So here's St. Francis, but today, Ralph, the picture we see is hardly anybody talks about sin. Hardly anybody, you know, anybody preaches about its seriousness and its clarity in the way that the Bible does, in the way that the church teaches in the catechism and other things. It's not communicated that way. And we seem to be, as a church, just in terms of the stats that are out there of how Catholics are living, pretty comfortable with a lot of sin, especially sexual sin and things like that. But just, you know, God will understand, it's no big deal, and then you get into the problem. So I want to talk this week about this sin problem and how it's being lived out and perceived today, and what it's related to, which is the problem I know you've written a lot about, the problem of universalism. No, God's just a good, everybody's going to be saved, and it ultimately doesn't matter what you do, unless you get to the point of being like Hitler or Stalin, but short of that, everything's pretty okay, and everybody's going to be saved, so we don't need to worry about it. So that kind of is the what I'd like us to talk about. So
yes, absolutely. And that quote read from St. Bonaventure about St. Francis is so striking and so not in harmony with, like you say, what people are thinking about today. But I think we need to step back just a few steps, because I think the blindness to these eternal realities, the blindness to the seriousness of sin, the blindness to the importance of zeal for the salvation of souls is rooted in not perceiving who God is. You know, if we don't know who's speaking to us, if we don't know who's revealed to us the seriousness of sin, if we don't know the price that was paid by Jesus Christ, it's going to be just so many words, just like water off a duck's back. And so, who's speaking to us, Peter? It's God. Now, who's God? I mean, the creator of the universe, the creator of every human being who's ever been created, the one who put the stars in their place in the heavens, he's speaking to us, and he's infinitely powerful. He's infinitely good. He's infinitely truthful. He's infinitely kind. He's infinitely loving. He's infinitely holy. Now, when people begin to get a glimpse of the holiness of God, what they do is fall on their face. When Peter got a glimpse of the holiness of Jesus in the miraculous catch of fish, he said, "Depart from me, Lord, because I'm a sinful man." We can't perceive our sinfulness unless we encounter the holiness of God. We don't even know what holiness is. We don't even know what sin is. We don't know our right arm from our left arm. We don't know anything unless we encounter the holiness of God and perceive our true situation in front of him. Same with Jesus. We're so familiar with the basic gospel message that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son so that those who would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Now, we got to remember that this isn't the first time that God loved the world. God loved the world when he created the world. God loved the world when he created our first parents and walked with them in the garden. And then now the love of God that's bringing Jesus to us is because of a terrible disaster that's happened. I mean, it is terrible that the first human beings believed a fallen angel, believed a demonic presence, and obeyed a demonic presence, and abandoned the love and truthfulness and goodness of God. And because of that, all the horror that has sort of run through the human race, all the war, all the selfishness, all the hatred, all the killing, all the broken promises, all the betrayals, all the sexual disorder, all the lying and greeting, and all those things have come from the rebellion against God. And that rebellion is so serious and so pervasive and so relevant to everybody's life that what it took to overcome is the gift of Jesus. Now, we're so used to taking for granted the gift of Jesus. We're so used to taking for granted that God loves us so much he sent his only son. But what a price it took for our sins to be forgiven, for our souls to be healed, for eternal life to be opened to us, for heaven to be restored to us. What a price it took. And so until we see the holiness and goodness of God, until we see the wickedness and evil of turning away from him, until we see the horrible consequences of sin, until we see the amazing price that was given so that our sin may be forgiven, none of this makes a lot of sense. And so I'm just praying, Peter, that people who are listening to us this weekend, the Holy Spirit will just give us a glimpse of who's speaking to us. It's God. You know, when God's speaking to you, oh my goodness, you better pay attention. You know, when God's speaking to us, wow, I mean, what is he saying? We should hang on every word. We should desire to understand every thought that he communicates to us. And when we do, we'll feel like St. Francis did. We'll have a zeal for souls, and we'll weep over sin, and we'll be so concerned for salvation, our own salvation, the salvation of others.
I think that Jesus came from heaven. The Father sent his Son to deal specifically with this problem. This is how serious it is. Sin is the thing that destroys human life forever, for all eternity.
Yeah.
And it's got extraordinary power.
Yeah.
And the Son of God had to come. I was just thinking, 1 John, there's a couple of places where John's so clear. He said, the Son of God appeared to take away sins. He appeared to take away sins. So friends, if you're listening, why did Jesus come? He came to save us. But what was that salvation? He came to take away sin.
Yeah.
Because we were slaves to sin and we're under the power of sin, which is destroying us. And then this beautiful line in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, John's talking about we have fellowship with God. And he says, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How did he come to take away sin? He cleansed us. That's how he took it away. And the cleansing was the shedding of his blood.
The precious blood of Jesus without price. I mean, amazing. God becoming man, the Word becoming flesh, and not only becoming flesh, not only walking among us, not only teaching us, not only healing our sicknesses, not only delivering us from evil spirits, but offering himself as a sacrifice for our sin, allowing all the evil of the world to fall on him. and him tasting death for us so we don't have to end up eternally separated from God, so that we can actually have our sins forgiven. What a price has been paid for the forgiveness of our sins.
Yeah, maybe we could just take a minute, friends, even as we're listening, to ask the Holy Spirit, ask the Father to give us the grace to see the price that was paid for our sin and how serious sin is and how holy God is.
Mm-hmm.
We can't see God without his help. And if you open your hearts right now, as we're speaking, that if you open your heart and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, he'll show you the holiness of God. And ask him every day, ask him all the time. St. Francis used to say, pray to Jesus, you know, Jesus, who are you? God, who are you? And who am I?
Well,
two questions, who are you and who am I?
It reminds me of what St. Catherine of Siena used to pray, where she'd pray, Lord, you are the one who is, and I am the one who is not. Getting clear who God is and who we are, and the tremendous reverence and the tremendous respect and the tremendous awe in which we ought to stand before God and listen to his word.
In a nutshell, what would you say holiness is, Ralph?
Holiness is our word to describe the infinite perfection of God, and I know that sounds abstract and theoretical. Holiness encompasses all his infinite goodness, his infinite beauty, his infinite truth, his infinite purity. All these words fall short. Mm-hmm. All these words dimly point to the one who is so good and so holy and so truthful and so kind and so unselfish. All these words keep falling short, but they're pointing to us to a transcendent reality that is so good and so awesome and so beyond us that once we get a glimpse of it, we just kneel down and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the amazing thing is that this infinitely good and holy God died to have mercy on us, is eager to have mercy on us, longs to forgive our sin, longs to bring us back into relationship with him, longs to cleanse us, longs to heal us, longs to strengthen us so we can resist temptation. This infinite and holy God desires to make us holy. And in fact, you know the scripture, Peter, we were created to be holy without spot or blemish. The whole reason why we are existing right now is to come into relationship with this holy God so he can make us holy. I know it sounds impossible. I know it sounds crazy. I know people are saying, who me? That's impossible. How could that happen? And that's exactly what the apostles responded to Jesus when he talked about fidelity in marriage, when he talked about how hard it was for rich people to get into the kingdom of God. He said, with human beings, it's impossible, but all things are possible through God. Mm-hmm. And if we're willing to surrender to the person of Jesus Christ, if we're willing to humble ourselves, if we're willing to admit our sin, if we're willing to accept his mercy and forgiveness, holiness is possible for us.
Jesus has come to make us holy, and we can't, as you often say, we'll say in shows coming up, I'm sure, you can't see the face of God and live without being holy, right? That really what Jesus has come to do is to make us holy, is to set us apart for God so we can become everything we were meant to be. It's all about his glory and our ultimate fulfillment. The title of your book, The Fulfillment of All Desire, you know, that's there, that this is what Jesus is after. And what's happening in the world, friends, is a great battle over eternal souls, over human beings, that creatures that were made from before the foundation of the world, destined to be with God forever, the devil's coming to steal them. And we want to talk about this more tomorrow. I hope you can join us. And Ralph, thanks for being with us, and can't wait to talk again tomorrow.
Good. Amen.
God bless you, friends. Good. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.